The Flight 3407 cockpit transcript gets released today. An R-44 pilot and three passengers walk away from a power line encounter. And SAFE gets a famous new member. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, May 12th, 2009. NASA got a clean, on-time launch off yesterday as Atlantis left Kennedy's Launch Pad 39A at 2:01 p.m. Eastern Time for the start of mission STS-125. This is going to be the final visit of the current space shuttle program to the Hubble Space Telescope. The widely anticipated release of the cockpit voice transcript for Continental Connection Flight 3407 happens today at a hearing in Washington, D.C. The Bombardier Q400 went down on approach to Buffalo Niagara International the night of February 12th, killing all 49 on board and one more on the ground. One investigator anonymously told the New York Times the recording reveals the pilot's, quote, heads weren't in the game, unquote. The crew was based in Newark, New Jersey, but 24-year-old First Officer Rebecca Shaw lived in Washington State. Sources familiar with the cockpit recordings say she was complaining of feeling congested after taking a long red-eye flight to work from Seattle that morning and reflecting that she should have called in sick, among other idle banter which was going on in violation of the sterile cockpit rule on approach below 10,000 feet. It's been learned that 47-year-old Captain Marvin Renslow failed five previous check rides during his career. The Wall Street Journal reports Colgan Air, the division of Pinnacle that was operating Flight 3407, recently removed several of its Czech airmen, saying it does that from time to time if they fail, quote, to perform to the company's high standards, unquote. All in all, today could get interesting. We'll keep you posted. In a reminder of one of the unique risks facing helicopters and other low-altitude operations, a Robinson R-44 being used for sightseeing around Cottonwood, Arizona, was brought down in a collision with power lines Sunday. Given the possible outcomes, this one ended well. The National Transportation Safety Board reports the pilot hit the power lines with the windshield, about level with the top of the instrument panel, while doing about 70 knots at 150 feet above ground. The craft reportedly pitched abruptly nose up, then down. After dodging a ridgeline, the pilot made a successful auto-rotation to the ground and kept the R-44 upright, but caught the skids in soft dirt and suffered a rotor strike which substantially damaged the machine. The good news is the pilot and his three passengers walked away uninjured. We don't think of her primarily as a flight instructor, but Patty Wagstaff has been an instructor for 26 years, in addition to her better-known roles as three-time U.S. aerobatic champ and top-tier airshow performer. Those who are aware of her instruction work know she's a proponent of training for spins and unusual attitudes. Now, Wagstaff is the newest and possibly the highest-profile member of SAFE, the recently formed Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. In announcing her decision, the performer made some between-the-lines comparisons to NAFI, the National Association of Flight Instructors. Quote, I was drawn to SAFE's governance ideals of accountability and transparency. These attributes are especially important for a member-driven organization. I find it frustrating when members are not taken into account. I'm looking forward to being part of this new and dynamic organization, unquote. SAFE's formation was catalyzed in part by NAFI's sluggish response to calls by some vocal members to adopt new bylaws allowing direct election of its directors by the membership. Up next on ANN, Airinc offers help with the new customs rules. API's winglets get STC'd for the Falcon. And Air Canada fights to stay out of its second bankruptcy. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 12th. I'm Paul Plack. Government bureaus frequently botch even the best laid plans. There are complaints that that's already happened with a new requirement for GA flights entering the U.S. to file a manifest with Customs and Border Patrol electronically at least an hour before departing their foreign origination points. CBP's user interface for the new requirement is getting a thumbs down from many. In business, fortunes have been made by private companies stepping up to the plate to untangle red tape. Tax preparation services come to mind. Now, Arenc, an 80-year-old Florida-based company, which bills itself as the world leader in transportation, communications, and systems engineering, says it's adding support for CBP's Advanced Passenger Information System, or APIS, to its standard portfolio of services for corporate aircraft. The feature is integrated with Arenc Direct's flight planning system, which means it carries over common fields automatically into the eAPIS filings. eAPIS works for both Part 91 and Part 135 operators and will be debuted starting tomorrow at eBase in Geneva, Switzerland. Another product announcement on the eve of eBase comes from Aviation Partners Incorporated, which says its new high Mach winglets have been granted STCs by both the FAA and EASA for use on Falcon 2000 series jets. API announced its partnership with Dassault Falcon Jet at eBase 2 years ago. The winglets are now ready and claim to improve the 2000 series range by more than 200 miles at Mach 0.8 and by even more at lower speeds. The mod also boasts a 5-7% fuel savings and a significant reduction in emissions. About 400 planes in the existing fleet are eligible for the upgrade, which requires an estimated 15 days of downtime. In just its second year, the Sporty's Foundation reports distributing over $151,000 in charitable contributions during 2008. The grants included flight training scholarships, the AOPA Air Safety Foundation, the Boy Scouts of America, Build a Plane, and others. A complete list of recipients is included in the report at sportiesfoundation.org. Looking ahead, the foundation is partnered with EAA Young Eagles, providing a logbook and Sporty's complete flight training course in online form to all young eagles following their introductory flights. Air Canada revealed on Monday just how tight its liquidity crunch has become. The nation's leading airline has asked Canadian regulators to grant it immediate relief from a requirement to fund employee pensions. The Wall Street Journal reports that Air Canada CEO Calin Rovinescu, a former investment banker placed in the job 5 weeks ago, faces some tough deadlines. The company lost $1 billion Canadian in 2008, and losses have accelerated in 2009's first quarter. 8 union contracts expire this month and next, and workers have shown little interest in discussing concessions, including the suspension of company pension contributions. One credit card processor is threatening to require Air Canada to increase its minimum cash balance from $900 million to $1.3 billion Canadian. That's more than the airline currently has on hand. Analysts say another $600-plus million in debts are due in the next 12 months. In a recent interview, Rovinescu was very candid about his challenges. Quote, "The juggling act has started," unquote. Still ahead, United's mechanics are wooed by the IAM. The last four F-22s will be really expensive. And Boeing says the future of UAVs is rapid prototyping. You're listening to AeroNews.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, May 12, 2009. I'm Paul Platt. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers says it's conducting a campaign to displace the Teamsters as the official collective bargaining agent for mechanics at United Airlines. IAM General VP Robert Roach commented, quote, "At the request of a diverse group of United Airlines mechanic and related employees, the Machinists Union has launched a drive to help them return to the only union that can provide a secure defined benefit pension plan and the cross-classification solidarity they need, unquote. IAM already reps United's 17,000 ramp and stores, public contact, food service, maintenance instructor, fleet technical instructor, and security guard employees. IAM represented the mechanics until 2003, when they voted to be represented instead by AMFA, the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association. AMFA was replaced by the Teamsters in April of 2008, and in the time since, some members have complained that the UAL mechanics have been split among multiple locals and had their power diluted in other ways as well. No specific timetable for the IAM's campaign has been announced. The U.S. Air Force reports that when the $147 million cost of shutting down F-22 production is spread over the cost of the last four aircraft to be delivered, those last four Raptors will end up costing $196 million each. That's an increase of about one-third over previous F-22s. Reuters reports the Air Force hopes to reduce those end-of-production costs through negotiation. Lockheed Martin says those talks have not yet begun. While it sounds like a startling increase in per-plane costs, those numbers are kind of abstract anyway. For years, critics of the F-22's cost have pointed out that if you consider development expenses, as would be done in many civilian development programs, the per-plane price tag is more like $350 million. Lockheed and Boeing have both had roles in producing the F-22. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates announced a few weeks ago that production would not be extended past this year, despite the Air Force's claim it needs more Raptors and lots of wailing from Congress. Lawmakers from 40 states have constituents that have some role in building the F-22. And finally today, here's a sci-fi-sounding headline, Boeing in development of Phantom Ray. Well, actually, it's not some big particle beam weapon. It's an unmanned aerial system with a shape reminiscent of a Sea Ray. Boeing has announced plans to develop and demonstrate the testbed for advanced air system technologies for DARPA, the U.S. Air Force, and the U.S. Navy. The Phantom Ray demonstrator is scheduled to make its first flight in December of 2010. The UAV will test advanced technology that aids in intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, suppression of enemy air defenses, electronic attack, hunter-killer, and autonomous aerial refueling. But Boeing is also looking at the deal as a way to showcase its rapid prototyping chops, which the company considers a key to future defense procurement, especially in UAVs. The Boeing Phantom Works organization was not widely known within the company prior to the announcement of the test program. And these days, being a Boeing VP and thinking you've missed a memo probably has to make you just a little nervous. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, four mayors from around the U.S. discuss the benefits of general aviation with the media in a teleconference and renew their call to the Obama administration to quit attacking business aviation. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.